Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu, kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kondwela lelo heka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa ni maona misozi masomu wake ni mavuto avale ni mavuto.
Good morning, it's April 11th, and thank you for joining us on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. It's always joyful to have people tune in from across the world and listen to a great show. We enjoy doing this. Today we are celebrating Zambian authors, and this is going to be good and exciting because one of the authors that is we're going to be talking to, Emerging Young Lady, she's very special to my heart because her parents are very special to my heart. Before we get on to our show, let me just mention a special thing here. Dallas, on behalf of the Dallas community, we want to say welcome to B1. It's going to be performing tonight. Welcome to Miss Wendy Chanda from Atlanta, Touch of an Angel, and Mrs. Betty Peary. You are welcome to Dallas, and hope we can get together and get some things going. Okay, we have two guests today, and at the bottom of the hour, we'll be going to Chicago. We'll be talking to Joshua Ngoma. He's been on the show before. But our first guest is a very special young lady, upcoming author. She's written two books, and I don't want to say much. We just want to hear her story. She's going to tell it herself and tell us what is coming ahead. She's going to be launching the book in Zambia. She's going to give us the details on that. And I want to say good morning to Miss Missy Tana. Is it Nyashwa Manwachi Tana? Good morning, Missy.
Good morning. It's Nyashwa Manwachi Tana. You said it correctly.
Okay, that means I'm a proper Zambian, isn't that right?
Yes, you are.
Welcome to the show, Missy. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, Missy, I know, you and I have been exchanging on Facebook and everything else. Missy, when did this passion to write start? How was it ignited? Where did it start from?
I want to say it started from reading. When I was younger, there was always books around. My family really emphasized reading. My grandmother would read to us. My mom would read us bedtime stories, you know. And even in school, my teachers in primary school would read us stories. So I think, you know, when I would listen to them, I would think to myself, wow, I wish I could do that, you know, like make up a story that just removes people from where they are and takes them to a different place, to a different world. I think I started writing my first little scribbles when I was about eight years old Birdfield. I don't know if you know that school. I'm not even sure if it's still called Birdfield. But that was when I wrote my first story, and it was a play. And my teachers really liked it. I don't remember what it was myself, but my mom says it was very good, even though, you know, I guess she's my mom, so she would say that. But I believe her. She says it was very good. And then my second story was for KTV. They used to have this competition called The Right Stuff, and it was about this girl who could shrink to the size of ants and, you know, talk to ants and stuff like this. Yeah, so that was my second story. So it started when I was very little, and, you know, it just sort of went on to secondary school, and, you know, then I didn't really have, like, a, you know, it was more like an outlet type of thing. So I would write, and then I would give the stories to my friends, and then they would read them, and then they would just pass the stories around in a big notebook. So I think that's where it started from.
That's where it started from. In the write-up that you sent to me, you mentioned something about, let me just quote here, I've been writing since primary school. My parents would help me with spelling and missed works. And when I was in boarding school in Chengelo, I would write stories and pass them to our friend, to your friends that you already talked about. I want you to talk to us about that part where you would write and then give your parents to sort of do the spelling and the best way. Share that experience with us.
Okay, so, I mean, it was sort of the same as it is now. You know, you just start out with an idea, you know, and it's a rough idea. And then slowly but surely, it, you know, it turns into a story, you know. It may not be perfect, but it's a story. So what I would do is I would write, specifically like the KTV one. I wrote the story, and then I showed it to my parents. My dad read it over, proofread it, as he used to call it, and he went through and he checked all the missed words and stuff. And then he gave it to my mom, and my mom typed it out for me. And when that was done, he went and he perforated it and he put it in a folder and made it look neat. So they went over it with me, you know, and then we would correct some things, change a few things, you know, so it would make sense and the story would flow easier, stuff like that. So they were very instrumental. They always helped me, you know, I guess, follow my dream in that area. And it wasn't just that, even plays. Sometimes I would write school plays. When I was at Chadley, I wrote a play called The Wicked Stepmother. And my class actually did the play. I don't remember the specifics. I just know there was a wicked stepmother and she got punished in the end. So my class actually did that play. But my parents helped me out. They were always so supportive, you know, and they helped me just put it in order and submit it to my teacher that way.
So you wrote a play? And your school actually performed it?
I wrote a play, and my teacher was like, this is good. I think our class is going to do this. I believe I was in grade 5. I want to say grade 5, somewhere there. So my class actually did it for assembly. You know, we stood there in front of everyone, and we performed it.
Wow. Amazing. Hmm. This is interesting. That's why it's nice. Because this is the part that I enjoy about talking to people on this radio show. You get to learn some things that, So what has always been your passion? Fiction. How do you formulate your stories? How have you formulated your stories growing up?
For me, fiction really has been, you know, like my favorite type of genre. I mean, I can read anything, you know. Sometimes I'll read how to books, you know, just, you know, so I can learn stuff like how to cook, you know. I learned how to make mac and cheese from a how-to book. But fiction is really like my go-to genre, you know. I just enjoy, you know, being able to go somewhere else in my own bedroom. If I'm sitting there and I pick up a book, all of a sudden I'm no longer Nyasha Manwachi Turner who's cleaning up my shirt that my baby vomited on. I'm a detective, or I'm a, you know, a girl hunting in the forest, you know. So I really just enjoy the fiction aspect of it, you know. It's my favorite type of thing to read.
Okay, your fiction type of... Okay, let's go to the book, or the books that you have written. The Push.
Okay.
What is the what is the storyline? What is the theme? Don't give away too much information so that people buy it. Just sort of provoke our curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll try not to, and I'm terrible with spoilers, but I'm going to do my very best not to, you know, blow up my own spot, as they say. Okay.
Yeah.
So The Push is about a woman who can travel through time, okay? It's set in the future, and in this future, the police, you know, the detectives and the police force are able to travel back, you know, a little bit in time to stop crimes, you know, it's not very far in the past. It's just a little bit. And the way they do this is that, you know, I know, I'm sure you've heard that, you know, as human beings, we only use like a certain capacity of our brain, you know, not the whole
yes.
thing. There's like unused areas. So my book, you know, works on that premise. It says that, you know, they're able to access their entire brains. And then with that, you know, they can move through time. Because who knows what you can do with your brain if you could use the whole thing. So that's the premise mm-hmm. it uses. So what happens is the police force, it's not like generally known to the public, but someone within the police force starts bombing buildings and, you know, killing people and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets framed for this crime that she didn't commit. And now she has to go back in time and stop this person. And it's tricky because it's someone she works with. She doesn't know who. So she can't, you know, just go about it through regular channels. So as a police officer now, she has to start breaking rules that she's supposed to be, you know, following.
Okay.
So that's
give us,
yeah, that's the general.
People can buy these books are available. Give us where and how where these books are available, where people can buy them.
You can actually get them on Amazon and CreateSpace. I mean, CreateSpace is a bit tricky, but I'm planning on shipping a few books over if it becomes difficult. So probably it will be available in Planet Book. That much I know. And I'm trying, you know, we've been trying to work out something with Book World. But if you have a Kindle or you have the Kindle app, you can actually
yep.
access it on Amazon. Sometimes, you know, I do promotions where my books are free. And I think it's very useful that, you know, for everyone to have, you know, if you have the Kindle app, it's, you know, it's like, it does a world of good. There's so much free stuff on there. So Kindle, Amazon, and hopefully in stores near you, Planet Books. By the time I come mm-hmm. there, for my book signing, April 25th, there should be some copies in Planet Books.
Planet Books, this is Zambia?
Yes, Planet Books in Lusaka, right.
Okay. Now, before we go to Lusaka, we talk about, what you call it, the launch that you're going to do there. Where have you done some, you say you do some book promos, and where have you done them? This is around the U.S., is that right?
Yes, it is. Most of the time, it's online book promos. You know, my publishers, they always suggest that, you know, you get your name out there by, you know, giving away free books and stuff. So sometimes they have events, you know, if they're giving away a cookbook, they'll add my book into the mix with all the other authors. They're called Solstice Publishing. So the promos that I do are just like, you know, for my publisher, especially with the first book. The second one just came out. I haven't really had that chance. But if you're online and, you know, you see it up there that it's a free book, I'll usually put the link, you know, to where you can get it or, you know, read like a chapter for free and stuff like that. So most of the time, if you check my page, you see all that information up there.
Okay. What page are we talking about? Your Facebook page?
Oh, yes, my Facebook page.
Okay. Now, you've got two Facebook pages. Give us the names.
Okay, the one I'm talking about is if you look for Missy Turner or you look for the URL Meet Missy Turner at Facebook, you should be able to find it. The other one is just my personal one. Yeah, Nyasha Manwachi. You know, usually I'm just posting things about my kids and what happened to me that day. But for, you know, the Missy Turner one, if you want information on my work, that's the one. That's the go-to page. Missy Turner,
okay.
Meet Missy Turner. At Facebook. Yeah.
Excellent. Missy is spelled M-I-S-S-Y. Tena, all of you Bembas there and from Chipata, you can get Tena. I'm sure you can. Let's talk about what's going to happen in Lusaka. What's going to happen in Lusaka and when?
Okay, so Lusaka, I'm coming home to do my launch. I'm going to be...
Uh-huh.
giving away signed copies of my book, well, you know, selling signed copies of my book. It's going to be on the 25th of April at Planet Books. I'll be there at 10 a.m. So, you know, anyone, just feel free to stop by. Even if you don't want to purchase a copy, just say hi, let's take some pictures, you know, and post them on Facebook, you know. That's the first. The second thing is I'll be doing some book donations for this school near where we live in Chongwe. It's called Mukamambo 2 Secondary School for Girls. So we don't have a date yet, but yeah, it's sort of to encourage, you know, like the adolescents, the girl child, you know, to read and, you know, something that's close to my heart. I was actually inspired by my mom and my Aunt Mavis. Okay, she's Chieftainess Mavis Komisha. Okay, to me, she's Auntie Mavis. But she's a great person. She has such a big heart. Yeah. And it's a project that's close to her heart, you know, the girl child, you know, encouraging the girl child to be whatever they want to be. So I'm going to be donating some, you know, books to them. And then also Lusaka Municipal Council Library, Municipal Council Library. I'm going to be donating some books to them as well.
City Center?
Yes, that's the one. So I'll be doing those two donations, and I don't have a date for those either. But, you know, I'll post it up on my page as we go.
We can get the dates. Let's go to Lusaka and get the dates. I have somebody special here, Missy, who wants to be part of the discussion. Hello, Lusaka. Hello, Lusaka. Okay. What happened to Lusaka? Did we lose Lusaka?
Mrs. Zem, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Can you get me now?
Yes. Now we can hear you. What do you want to say to Missy?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Mom.
Missy.
Can you get me now?
Yes, we can hear you. So,
yes, we can hear you.
Please tell us, I mean, Missy has come this far. What do you want to say to her?
Missy has made us very, very proud as a family. More so, her father would have been very, her late father would have been very, very proud of her. She has done us good, and she's always had this passion to write, and I couldn't believe it when she said that she got where she was, because she's always been writing, and I knew that one day, somehow, deep in my heart, I knew God will bless her to be somebody who can be able to write a story. And we're so proud of her as a family that she has come this far.
Excellent. Mrs. Manwachi, give us sort of like the program, the travel plan of the launch. What is going to happen when Missy gets to Lusaka?
All right. Miss is arriving in Lusaka on the 17th of April. Mm-hmm. 18th of April, we'll be doing the launch. It's not the typical launch that everybody does. It's a launch for a book, yes, but for the youth.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we'll be using a bus to launch her book. That bus will have a photo of herself and the book that she's launching. And we'll make some travels. We're going to go through and when we get the city, that so that she can be able to meet with the friends and everybody else and whoever wants to see her. On the 26th of April, we'll be doing a donation to Lusaka Council. On the 27th of April, we'll be doing a donation to Mukamambo.
Mrs. Malwashi, your line is getting bad. Whatever is happening, I don't know.
Is my line getting bad?
Yes.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
All right. On the 25th of April, it will be book signing at Planet Book.
Okay.
And then on the 27th, Mukamambo 2 has got secondary school for girls. Miss Tena will be donating books.
Okay.
Yes, that's what we have for her. It's
excellent.
A super, I hope you'll be able to go through it.
That sounds like a good plan. Missy, obviously you're going to be talking to these groups of primary or secondary school students that you'll be donating or giving these books. What message do you have for them?
Well, I mean, my basic message would be, you know, obviously to encourage them to read, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also to dream. You know, when you read, your world is just opened up. There's so many things you can do, you know? So that would be my message, you know, just read and dream. Dream big.
Mm. Why is it important to dream, Mitzi? Because you see, on the previous show, my friend was talking to, I know your mom will recognize Gilbert Banda. He was talking about us having this mentality of after school, we need to look for a job. What is the significance of us dreaming and getting out of that mindset?
Well, I mean, of course, it's important to work as well. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't live if you don't work. But you have to have something to look forward to. I mean, I know anyone who has a job will tell you that sometimes it gets like an you know, sort of like into a rut. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you cook and clean, and then you get up the next day and do it again, you know. But besides that, it's important to have something to look forward to, like something that you want to achieve. At least that's what I think.
Okay, that's good. What sort of message do you think the people you are going to donate this book to are going to get out of it?
Well, I hope that, you know, they're just encouraged. And I mean, you know, I hope that they're encouraged, and I hope that they see that they can do anything, because myself, honestly, I never thought that, you know, I would be blessed with this opportunity to write. I never even thought people would read my stories, you know, apart from my friends who I was passing them to. But, you know, I hope that, you know, this will encourage them that you'll never know what life throws at you.
Yes.
So, you know, you have to be prepared for anything. So
excellent.
Just I hope they're encouraged to, you know, to follow their dreams and so on.
Excellent. We're talking to Missy Nyashwa Manuachi Tana.
Yes, there you go.
I'm a Zambian, I can say it properly. is available on Amazon.com and outlets in Zambia. Before we conclude with Mitzi and the switch to Chicago to Mr. Ngoma, I think somebody wants to ask you a question, Mitzi. Area code 267, the last four digits are 9119. Your name, please, go ahead.
Hello, Brother Nathan, this is Mwansa from Pennsylvania. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. You wanted to ask a question to Mitzi?
Yes, sir. Just two things real quick. I know time is of the essence. The first thing is, I agree with her on the issue of dreaming. Extremely important, right? What happens is we have a passion. But, you know, specific to America, the first instinct that kicks in is you have to survive. So what happens is you get a job, you go to school, get a job, and you work. But that passion is still in your heart. So you're working, but your goal ultimately is eventually you stop what you're doing once you're established, and then you follow your dream, your passion. Once you reach that stage, the sky is the limit. So
that's
I agree.
Right.
Anyway, so dreaming is very, very good, and it's very important, and it comes down to passion. So that was just a statement. Now, my question is, for an ordinary person, an ordinary Zambian like myself living in the diaspora, what exactly would you want from someone like me, or any Zambian, for example, as a writer? As a writer, what exactly are you looking for? That's my question.
Oh, well, the only thing I can say is, as far as what I would want, you mean if you're an aspiring writer or as a writer to a reader?
Well, you see, you're a writer, right? And you've got
an
agenda. You've got an agenda, or you've got a mission. There is something that you're trying to get done. Maybe it's selling books or getting some kind of publicity or whatever it is. So, how is a Zambian in America of any use to you or your agenda?
Okay, so my agenda really is just to get my stories out there, you know. And I mean, Zambia is my home. Like, any feedback that, you know, my Zambian family can give back is important. It's, you know, it's just, there's like a learning curve. Even when I wrote my first book, it's kind of, my second book is different. Because, you know, I've learned so much. And it's not just like, you know, from reading and et cetera. It's from the feedback. So as a reader, you know, what youth you would be, you know, you'd give me that feedback and, you know, ways that I can improve my writing.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you, Amwansa. So we are set, and I guess they are ready for you in Lusaka. Is that right, Mrs. Manwachi?
Yes. We're ready for her in Lusaka. Actually, we're looking forward to seeing her here. We can't wait for her to arrive.
All right, Missy, and all the best on your... All the best on your book, and we trust that everything is going to go well. Like Mwansa said about what you expect from a Zambian living in the diaspora, any final words to everybody listening, and tell us again how they can buy the book.
Okay, my final words would be, actually, I just want to give a massive thank you to everyone back home who's helped and who's actually bought the book and, you know, messaged me to say, oh, you know, I like this, but I didn't really like that. Thank you for all your feedback. You guys, I really appreciate it. And also remember, you can get this book on Amazon or Creative Space or Planet Books. And I'm really excited to be coming home. I can't wait to see everybody at my book signing.
Excellent. All the best. And we shall be following and supporting in whichever way we can. Mrs. M, glad to hear from you.
Yes, thank you very, very much. And as final words, we're waiting, we're ready for her. And thank you for having her on the program. We really appreciate a chance to talk to her. And to everybody that's listening out there, thank you very much for being part of this program.
Thank you. You know, I'll do anything for her. She's my baby, too.
I know.
Thank you for having me.
Whatever. I know Missy saying whatever.
No, never that.
All right. Have a great weekend, and please stay with us. We'll be switching gears here. We'll be talking to Mr. Joshua Ngoma too about his new book, The True Worshippers. Missy, bless you and travel well to Zambia.
Thank you. Happy Saturday. Have a blessed weekend.
Thank you. Stand by.
Ukwesho kulungi kapoli Epota ola chuku sonta iminwe Na umwe bapo Ushe na umwe bapo Yesu Ushe na ulanda po na mwe Ushe na uishiba ifyale faya Ushe Ushe Ushena umweva po Yesu Ushena ulanda po na mkwe Ushena uishiwa ifyale kwaya pamwe uwe
You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. This is a special Saturday feature. We are celebrating Zambian authors. Our next guest is not a stranger to this forum or to this show, neither to the Zambian community in the diaspora or the United States for that matter. Mr. Jason Roma is an accomplished author, entrepreneur, itinerant speaker who has written two other books. I think he's got more. He hasn't just published them. The Rise of the Africans, God and Government, both books which he did come on the show and he talked to us about. Mr. Ngoma, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Nathan. Thanks for having me again.
And welcome to the show. We're always glad to have you on with us.
Thank you. And I would like to also send my special thanks to everyone that is tuned in this morning from their busy schedules to listen to this show. I truly appreciate their effort. And also, I take this opportunity to thank everybody in the Zambian community and beyond that have supported my work from its inception to where it is now. And particularly, I also take this opportunity to thank you, Brother Nathan. You've really been there for me on the Zambia Block, the talk radio, and you have had me even at the quickest bequest to get on there. I thank you so much for your support and for facilitating my work and my message to get out there.
Excellent. You're welcome, my brother. You know, that's just about what we can do for each other, is to support each other. Let's talk about how has the transition been from the rise of the Africans, God and government. Now we are talking true worshippers.
Brother Nathan, my genre of work, I write basically about church politics and state. So within those confines or within that genre, I find a confluence between church. You know, I have a church background, and I still have it. Yes, I've been in politics before, and I think I'm still am in one way or the other. And
I can't remember when you left politics.
Yes, but once a politician, always a politician. But the thing
my
work is to sort of find a confluence, a nuance between church, government, and state, or church politics and state. So within the framework of that genre, I have actually been writing. So I started with the rise of the Africans, and by the way, I've done an expanded version of the rise of the Africans. So it's gonna be it's gonna be coming out, but much more reloaded this time. And I've just developed on the themes that I did in the first one. Then, of course, God and government was an effort to sort of break this myth between our Christian values and political governance, if you like. That absolutely there's no separation, and we should allow without any reservation our God-given Christian values to freely reign in the political realm of life without being taught or being excluded, like these two things are like oil and water. You hear that a lot. So that was the basis of God and government. And I went on further to say, look, it's not whether we like it or not. At the surface of it, our religious convictions or none of it is basically our politics. So whether we like it or not, it's already there. So then the issue is how we, as Christians, can sort of find a way to be ahead of the curve, or to find a situation where our Christian values are actually represented in the way that our governance is done. And actually, it's a God-given agenda. There's absolutely no separation. And that's the basis of my second book. Coming to true worshipers, characteristics of God's people that worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is what I was not trying to do. I was not trying to teach people how to worship. As Christians, I firmly believe that only a God's spirit and the direction of God's word can actually teach us how to worship God in spirit and in truth. But I went further in this book to talk about, okay, if we have true worshipers, if God requires us to be true worshipers, then what are the characteristics? What are the marks that follow those that worship God in truth and in spirit? You remember when Jesus was going from, actually he was with his disciples, they were on a journey, moving from Judea to Galilee, and the most practical and obvious way was to actually go through Samaria. But the Jews and the Samaritans at that time were at loggerheads, so then they had to take sort of a rounded route, sort of go around Samaria, when the quickest way was to cut through Samaria. And when they had gotten to that point, Jesus asked his disciples to go and fetch something to eat. and he was left alone. Then he begins this rather uncanny conversation with a Samaritan woman that was out to draw water. And out of that conversation, Jesus unveils the principles, or rather out of a condition of our heart and that discussion, Jesus gives us what it is to be a true worshiper. But then he goes further and he exposes what the characteristics of true worshipers are. Now, when he was talking to her, he says, now is the time when the Father seeks true worshipers. Now, them that shall worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, if God is going to seek something, then it means it's rare. If he's going to seek is to earnestly search, to go out and find this rare thing. So if God is saying he's seeking those that worship him in spirit and truth, then one thing that you saw right from the beginning is that true worshipers were rare.
Mm. Let me ask this question on the, somebody listening out there, they'll be like, what would be your response to somebody saying, oh, okay, so this book is for church people. What's your response to that mindset?
No, it's not. It is, of course, birthed from Judeo-Christian tradition, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of principles there that I have set out that actually would help both Christian and non-Christian. So they should not, from the onset, probably be put off by true worshipers, and even from the church. I see a situation where you should not probably feel it should not come out like probably it's judging anybody. No, it's Jesus who said, for the Father is seeking them that shall worship him in truth and in spirit. So that's the basis of the title, that God is seeking those that worship him in spirit and truth. I have done that, but I've done a lot of, I've gone to a lot of basic principles in our Christian faith that will help not only those that are believers, but just those that want to get on with life. I think that the word of God is profitable to everyone that will open their hearts to it.
Excellent. Writing is a very involving activity, Mr. Ngoma. It requires a lot of research. It requires a lot of investigating, checking, proofreading. How has this affected your life, and what would you say to somebody out there who's like, it's not for me?
Brother Nathan, I do both. I still have my day job, and after that, I work. So basically, I don't have much of a life now, because truthfully speaking, it's very involving. It's going to take your best time to get it done. But then again, the advice I have for would-be authors is that writing is a special gift. And I believe it's a gifting that God gives you, just like he gives and empowers some people to be musicians, some people to be, you know, special artists. They can draw. It's an art form. Any kind of art form, like music or being an artist, it requires a lot of dedication, a lot of practice time. And such that when the final product comes out, whether it's a song or a book, most of the work, the daily work, has been done in the background, so that when the showcasing comes, the hard work was done during a recital. So even writing, it's basically a recital. You have to keep writing, researching. You write and probably delete an entire chapter or script and rewrite again. Or somebody critiques it, it doesn't make sense, you've got to redo it again. But don't give up, because if it's in you and it's something that you are passionate about, I think that you should be able to stick with it. Discipline is key. And also, you don't do it for the money, because then the other thing I see is there is this illustrious sort of picture like, oh, I'm going to be an author, I'll sell so many books and be an instant millionaire. I know it's happened for people, and with time, if you stick with it, you will be rewarded at some level, but that's not supposed to be the motivation. The motivation is to bring your gifting to light, and secondly, what your genre is, impact the world with what you believe your message is. So it's about making your dream come true, and two, make the world a better place by contributing to contributing some ideas or some information out there that people can live and make people's lives better. Basically, that's what it
Excellent. Is. Excellent. You're listening to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. Our special feature today, we're celebrating Zambian authors, and we're talking to Mr. Joshua Ngoma. He's written The Rise of the Africans, God and Government. Today we're talking about true worshippers. Joshua, you've written these books, and they've been published back-to-back, and I don't see much breathing space there on your part.
Yes.
It's a lot of work. Tell our listeners, if they want to buy a copy of this book, how they can get it.
Basically, in wherever you live, if there's Amazon, you can get it. They're on every Amazon, and in fact, a lot more other online bookstores. You probably can Google in your own country. There should be an outlet, especially in the Western world. I think you can get a copy from an outlet exactly in your country, so you can Google it. But Amazon, wherever it is. Then if you're in the U.S., of course, you can do, you know, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. Those would be outlets. So you can go to our website, joshuangomainc.com, for more guidance where you can get these books from. Then in Zambia, hopefully in a week or two, all my books will be listed for starters at .com Zambia. It's a local mm-hmm. online buying outlet. They will be there in a week or two, all my books. And, of course, we'll be working. I'm still working on other outlets within Zambia, like bookstores and so on. But for sure, I know it will be listed on .com Zambia in a couple of weeks or so. So you can start from there. And okay. Basically, you know, yes.
What's that new outlet, new online outlet in Zambia again? Please repeat it.
.com Zambia. So it's DOC COM Zambia. .com Zambia.
Okay. .com Zambia. All right. Now
yes.
Let's speak about the special event that is coming up. You're going to be, you've already done one launch in Chicago area. You are coming to Dallas in May. Talk to us about that. Give us the dates and what.
Hello?
Yes, give us the information about the scheduled launch for Dallas, Texas.
Yes, I'll be in Dallas on over the Memorial Weekend, that is in May. I have two events that I'm going to be doing. On Friday, May 22nd, 2015, I'll be displaying at the Zambia Expo. There's a ZAM Expo that is going on in Dallas over the Memorial Weekend. So I'm going to have a table there. I'm going to have a booth for Friday, May 22nd, 2015. So you catch me there. And on Saturday, I'll have a separate book signing. It's only like a two-hour event from 6 to about 8 p.m. I'm going to be at the Grand Hotel. For details, the address, and other details, you can go to our website or my Facebook page to get that. So basically what I'll be doing on Saturday at the book signing, I'll be explaining more about my journey in writing and what message am I trying to bring across in my genre, which is basically church politics and state. And how all these books that I've done, these three books have done so far, tie in that genre and the kind of message or platform I'm trying to build. So I'll do more explaining and more interaction at that level on the 23rd May event, which will be at Grand Hotel from 6 to 8 p.m. You can get the details of the address from our website or my Facebook page. And on Friday, I just want to be with my peeps, my Zambian people, at the ZAM Expo. We're just going to be chilling, and I'll have a booth there too.
Excellent. Before I go to the phone lines, those that have called, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 1 on your phone so that I know that you want to ask Mr. Ngoma a question. Somebody is asking Mr. Ngoma on Facebook, of course you are launching a new book in Dallas. Are the other books going to be available when you come to Dallas?
I know for sure God and Government will be available. I just ordered some more copies, so I know I'll have God and Government. I'm working on The Rise of the Africans. I'm hoping that I can have the reloaded version or the expanded version before May. So I'm sort of working on that. It should everything work according to plan, I'll actually be relaunching The Rise of the Africans there. It's much more reloaded, and I think that it addresses a lot of contemporary issues that affects our continent and our people. And I've gone further to suggest in it what I'm calling the third way for Africa in terms of what I believe would be our next phase in terms of policy reform and our direction as a continent.
Okay, excellent. We are talking to Mr. Joshua Ngoma concerning his new book, True Worshippers. You can get it on Amazon.com. It's available. Just Google Joshua Ngoma and it will come up. And for the Dallas people, he's coming to be part of the Zambian Expo. And on Saturday, we'll be launching the book. It's going to be at the Grand Hotel. Everybody who lives in Dallas, you know the Grand Hotel. That's where we do everything. Zambian independence, the dinners and everything else. You know what we are talking about. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 770, last four digits, 8024. Your name, please, and your question to Mr. Ngoma. Okay, this is Atlanta. Maybe they are just listening. 770, is this by Wendy? Okay, they are probably just listening. So Mr. Ngoma will be coming to Dallas to launch the book and to interact with the community on the book True Worshippers. I encourage each one of you. You don't need to wait for him to come to Dallas. You can get it online. But for me, I'm going to wait since I want that $1 million signature in that book. That's what we are going to do. let's talk a little bit about, is it The Rise of the Africans you're talking about, which you are saying has been reloaded? Yes. Somebody who has read the first copy and the one that has reloaded, discuss with us a few, without giving away the information, I mean...
Brother Nathan, firstly, that was like my first book, okay?
Yes.
So you sort of are trying to test the waters out there, okay? Firstly, you're excited to just get published in the first place, and you're moderate with the information you put out there, okay? somebody said in Africa that I remember one preacher, I think from Ghana, who said that if you expose a young lion, a cub, too quickly out there in the game, even a goat can kill it. So there are certain things that with time you feel much more confident about, and you basically, I think that's where I'm at. I feel much more confident, much more grounded to, I think, expand and bring out a whole lot more issues concerning our continent. and particularly Zambia, because one thing I've done is to dedicate the book to the 50th, to the Jubilee anniversary in Zambia. It should have come out, it should have, if everything had worked out according to my plans, it should have been out before the 24th Jubilee, the 24th of October last year for our Jubilee celebrations. But when you take your work to publishers, a whole lot of things are out of your hands. So the deadline, the deadline I was looking for could not be met, but it's still dedicated to Zambia's 50th independence celebration. So in that sense, I have brought out a lot of issues, like where we are coming from as a nation, where we are at, of course, in the context of the larger area of Africa, but I've zoomed in quite a lot about my country, where we are coming from, where we are, and what I believe should be our next phase as a country and as a continent at large. And in that book, basically, you remember the proverb that I used that you kept reminding me on. It's a Kenyan proverb. It says, "Unless the lions learn to ride, unless the lions learn to ride, the hunters will always tell their stories of the hunt." Okay, and I believe that the rise of the Africans, I've endeavored much more this time round, Brother Nathan, to tell our story from our perspective. Yeah, where we are coming from as a continent and as a people, why we are in this condition, and what I believe are some remedies that will take us from where we are. So basically, it's a story told by an African from our lenses, our African lenses, and not necessarily allowing the hunters to, quote-unquote, to come in our game reserves and tell us about our own hunt or about our own existence. So basically, that's where I'm coming from with the rise of the Africans. Yes,
that's very true. Those of you are listening to this for the first time, you're probably interacting or hearing Mr. Ngoma's name for the first time. If you have never read any of his books, I encourage you to do so. The first title is The Rise of the Africans. The second one is God and Government. Now he has a third one called Two Worshippers. Just go to, those of you listening, you live in America, you know how to buy books online. Just go to Amazon and go for Joshua Ngoma. It will bring up all the three books. Once again, Dallas, you're looking forward to come, sir?
Yes, oh, absolutely. The thing with Texas, though, and Dallas specifically, even if I'm not resident there, I have a lot of kin in Dallas from way back home in the Copper Belt. Even you, brother Nathan, I think we mingled way back home before here. I remember coming to your home quite frequently in Lusaka. And that's my feeling. It's like coming to my second home, Dallas, Texas. Of course, my first home is Chicago, the land of the free and the home of the brave, Chicago, Illinois. But coming to Chicago to Dallas, Texas is like coming to my second home. Really, I have a lot of kin and a lot of friends from back home there.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We're looking forward to having you and to the launch. Everybody knows that the Dallas community is hosting what we are calling the Zambian Expo, and it's coming up fast. We are already moving towards the mid of April, so that tells you that we are getting closer. So join us when Mr. Ngoma comes to Dallas. We're looking forward to having him here and everything that will go on that day. Everybody, I want those that have never, you don't have a copy of Mr. Ngoma's or any of his books, you can get them on online Amazon. You will know how to buy books. I'm looking at things here, Mr. Ngoma, and I can see your book is also available on BAM. What is BAM?
BAM is Books a Million. It's the second largest bookstore chain in the U.S. After Barnes and Noble, but it's concentrated on the Southwest region, I think, where you guys are, the southern states, basically. But it's the second largest book chain in the U.S.
So you can get them on BAM as well. Before we conclude, we have 3 minutes remaining. Let me allow my friend Mwansa from Pennsylvania to say something or ask a question. Mwansa, go ahead.
Hello. Nice to hear from you, Mr. Ngoma. I hope I'm hearing great stories, and I'll be one of them who will come to Texas for the expo, and I hope I'll get the opportunity to meet all of you there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be a great thing. The rise of the African. We've had an image problem as Africans, especially the way we are perceived in the West. I think that's because of some of the things that have happened in Africa, and also because the West, they control the media. So to me, it makes me feel good when Africans are producing authors and other communication medium, because then we can have more control over our own image instead of being put in a box by the Western media. But my question is, how do you view Africa today? Are you encouraged overall, or do you think as a continent we're heading in the right direction? I don't know if your book touches on that. And what do you view God's role has been in our history and where we're heading? Has he had a role in this? Because I struggle with this question, because sometimes the things that happen don't make sense. So I'm
okay,
sure
you have to stop right there. Let him respond in 1 minute. We are running out of time. Van Goma, you want to respond to that?
All right. Number one, the first chapter of my book, The Reloaded One, I'm calling it The Rebirth, Africa's Rebirth, or others call it Renaissance. Okay. In it, I trace how resilient as Africans we are. Basically, when you look at our history, I think that the agenda has been to obliterate us, okay? Basically, people from outside are interested in Africa, but not the African people. But in it all, the fact that we can still be here, and projections are that by 2050, will be the most populous continent on the world, on the planet, exceeding Asia, is testimony. We keep bouncing back. Our history, the African history, is about a people that are resilient, and they keep coming back no matter what is thrown at them. And that in itself is testimony enough for me that God is involved in our affairs. If not, would have been obliterated, would have been wiped out. But God is with us.
That's
and
right.
Is always, yes. So that's basically what I would say in the limited time. Secondly, I would say I'm optimistic about the future of Africa, but it would need us Africans to drive the agenda. Just like the Chinese are directing the agenda for China, the South Koreans are directing the agenda for South Korea. It's up for us Africans to drive the agenda for Africa, and I think we can do it.
That's right. Okay, we've run out of time. That's Mr. Ngoma. If you need to buy any of his 3 books, you can find them on Amazon.com. The Rise of the Africans, True Worshippers, God and Government. It's going to be at the Zambian Expo on May 23rd. Welcome to Dallas, B1, by Wendy and Betty. Join me next week. We'll be talking to Director of Central Statistics of Zambia. Thank you, everybody. We celebrated our Zambian authors. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Brother Nathan.